Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August the 16th, 224th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, board member?
Yes.
You don't have a title anymore, huh?
Not anymore. I've been demoted.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Caitlin Saposi Belknap.
You got it.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, because you're not the chair, you don't have the title, you're just a board member, does that change your area of responsibility or not?
No, not exactly. I just don't run the meetings anymore.
But I served
two terms and time was up.
We still need to have the same level of respect.
Yeah,
as
I
we
think
had
so.
Before.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the updates that are going on with the water district. There's a bunch of different things, and also we'll spend a little bit of time about infrastructure. It seems to be kind of the theme right now, particularly with what WEOT's going through. And we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the district when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Caitlin Saposi Belknap. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from King Farouk. Sometime between 1920 and 1965 was known to have said, and this was after his overthrow, "One day there will only be five kings left, hearts, spades, diamonds, clubs, and England." Oh, tradition, huh? Nothing
not
else.
Wrong.
Caitlin, what sense do you have with the knowledge of the community with the general condition of the infrastructure in the water district?
Well, I would say that our infrastructure is really well maintained. Our district has a policy, and from well before I was even on, of taking really good care of it and making sure to fix things before they break. But even with that, the district is over 50 years old, and so that's what we're dealing with. The bulk of our infrastructure is, especially the big stuff, 50 years old or more, and that means that it's really getting to be time to look at replacing it, and there's not much we can do about that.
Do you sense with the situation that WEOT's dealing with right now and the emergency declaration, et cetera, that there's going to be more awareness?
Well, I hope so. I mean, we've actually tried to be pretty proactive about letting folks know that we're doing replacements and big projects and kind of rolling them out. We've also gotten a lot of state grant money to help offset the costs. And so we've tried to promote that as well so people know. I think that the question of infrastructure is actually one that is being faced by the whole country. And so I think that in that way, people are more aware of it. And I think as we start to have issues, that can't help but raise attention for people. But on the whole, I think most people still think of the water comes out of my tap, it's working, and, infrastructure isn't really top of their list to think about.
That's why I was going to ask. I know that there are others in the area that have got, well, Fortuna just replaced their water tank.
Mm-hmm.
Arcata's got their sieve. A number of those situations, we are now, certainly West Haven, Trinidad have had their issues. And yet life goes on.
Right.
And as you said, with a national situation with roads and bridges and stuff needing infrastructure investment, could there be too much talk of investment and too much assessment fees and too much special districts? And you whip the SRA on top of that for the fire district, and pretty soon, I mean, there still is this thing called carrying capacity.
Right. Well, it definitely
is the timing right?
Well, there's in some ways it's like there's not much we can do about the timing. You know, once it reaches its lifespan, you have to deal with it. And I do think that, you know, that's part of the concern around the deferred maintenance that we've had as a whole country of sort of kick the can down the road.
Oh, you've been to Sacramento.
Well, and even our water district. I mean, the policy of the district was historically that, you know, the folks who paid for it would use it. And then once that was done, then the folks down the line would have to pay for it again, kind of. And that's the moment that we're in now, is that we need to pay for it again. And we're doing our best to do it in a, not all at once, so that it's manageable. But water bills have gone up. And then part of that is because we're needing to replace some fundamental pieces of the system.
Like a couple of clients?
No, we haven't had to replace. Well, on the industrial side, yes, yeah. There's also that piece. That's unrelated to the age of the system. But yes, that doesn't help that we have less clients now than we did.
If the pulp mills were back and functioning and drawing the amount that had been contracted before, how significantly different does the picture look? Or does it look different?
Well, in a lot of ways, it wouldn't change these infrastructure issues, a lot of them, because we do have two separate and distinct systems for much of the delivery system. So anything basically past the dam, with the exception of some staff and some, you know, electrical stuff that's together, you know, in terms of pipes and pumps and things like that, the big ticket items, those are separate from the industrial system. So we're not doing work on that side. No one's paying for us to do work on that side. We're just letting it sit for the moment. And all of these upgrades and things that we need to do are all on the municipal side. And if we don't do them, then we won't be able to deliver water reliably to people to drink.
So if it's lying fallow, if there's success in getting someone, whether it's at that location or somewhere else, will the system be able to handle it? I mean, you throw the water through it, and all of a sudden you start springing leaks all over the place. I would think that would be a concern.
It is a concern, and it's one that we, you know, have on our radar. I don't think that we're at the place now where we couldn't flip the switch back on and have no problem, because it hasn't been that long. But that is one of the many reasons why we're trying to be really proactive about looking for another customer.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Caitlin Soposi. Belknap.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14 through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The Art Pavilion will have many delights for the eye, and enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between, such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The Commercial Exhibits Building will feature fascinating products, and of course there's the Ferris Wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Caitlin Soposi Belknap from the Water District. Caitlin, the infrastructure systems that are in place. Yeah, Carol has talked about it. She's brought in some folks. If it fails, what does that look like? What is that scenario?
Well, it depends on where the failure is, of course. And one of the things that we're thinking about and really paying attention to as we're doing these capital improvements is redundancy, and trying to make sure that we have as few as possible single point places where if it breaks, we couldn't supply folks through another way. So our system really kind of does a loop around the communities that it serves in most regards. So some of the projects that we have going on right now that we're gearing up for is, for example, additional interties between Eureka and Arcata and McKinleyville, so that if our line that our primary line that goes to McKinleyville breaks and some, because of some, you know, just leak problem, but also, you know, an earthquake or something like that, that we could actually back feed through Eureka or, you know, the other way around. Another big project that is really critical is having another line to go out to Blue Lake, because right now our line is on the Annie Mary Rail Bridge, and there's a real issue there. But one of the benefits of that is that it could also feed to McKinleyville. So trying to make sure that we're not vulnerable to breaks in the system, especially probably due to, you know, an earthquake or something like that, or a tsunami, is really important so that we have all other options. But at the end of the day, if we can't get the water to people, what it means is people don't have water, and that's really, you know, not something that we want to have happen ever.
It sounds to me like a lot of this is staff stuff.
Yes.
Doing, marching, maintaining, monitoring. So at the water district, what is the function of the board?
Well, our job is to oversee policy, and I think the policy of trying to take care of this stuff before we have a crisis is one of the things that's set by the tenor of the board. And then, you know, I think I would say that the board has also been very proactive about looking at this issue of a lack of a user for the industrial side of the system. And certainly we're working with staff on that, but the board and the district from the top down has taken that on as a priority over the last several years. I mean, there's nothing we can do to magically make a customer appear out of thin air, right? So I'm not here to say that we've got somebody, but positioning the district to be able to know what our options are and to put ourselves out there as having this supply and to understand better what our community would want from us in terms of considering selling the water to a new customer. All of those things are things that we have done as a board to put ourselves in a good position to be able to respond when, I will say, when a buyer presents themselves.
What's the current status with the negotiations with East Bay Mud and some of the other water districts? Is that progressing at all, or is that kind of waiting for summer to get over?
Well, we're definitely not in negotiations with anybody. What we have done is gone down. Bruce and myself are kind of the subcommittee from the board, have visited the Bay Area. We understand much better now what the systems are down there, and kind of what the options might be in terms of the way the flow works with who's connected to who, which is all kind of complicated and not something we think about up here. They know about our situation, and they're definitely open to talking to us, and that's kind of where it is right now. The big issue is the cost of getting the water down there. They're kind of like, we can get much cheaper water through a lot of other options, so this isn't really top of our list to explore.
So if that really currently isn't a viable option, what options are viable? Or are we really looking at seeing that in those industrial contracts getting taken away by the state?
Well, we have until 2029 for our permits to expire. So in some ways, I think of that, I mean, we have to be well on our way at that point, but we do have some time here. And so our job, as I see it, is to be proactive about putting the district in a good situation for, as the price of water goes up and potentially the issue of the cost becomes less and less of the critical factor for these other agencies that we've decided meet some of the other criteria of the kind of customer we might want to have, like they're close to home and they're not, you know, just throwing their water away, then, you know, then the district is in a good position to take that up when it becomes more viable, you know, in the market. And that might not be this board. That might not be the next board. But, it, you know, if we don't do anything now, then it won't be any board that would be in a position to do that before 2029.
With all the environmental degradation that's going on with the marijuana growing, and pulling out of streams and pulling out of creeks and, I guess, illegal takes of water.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, you guys got too much water. These guys are nailing water illegally. Is there any potential coming together with these two, or are they just water related but not connected.
They are water related, and like they're not connected right now because literally that's the thing. They're not connected. So we're talking about totally different watersheds. But, you know, I do, it is a question of, you know, if there's somebody to pay for the infrastructure to move the water, which is kind of the same exact problem with the Bay Area. It's just further away. There we have it. And as long as it's done in an environmentally responsible way, we're open to selling it. And
of course, these are people that are not environmentally responsible.
Yeah, I don't know that we would say, like, hey, let's have, you know, direct contracts with pot growers, but...
Or you know, like the dispensaries. Mm-hmm. You know, there could mm-hmm. be a co-op, but then again, it'd have to be faceless.
Well,
otherwise, somebody's going to get nailed by DOJ or...
Right. A lot of the problem, too, is like where the marijuana is being grown is in, you know, the upper reaches of river watersheds. And that's not a very practical place. So if it wasn't illegal, then,
sprinkles.
You know, it could be in Arcata or something like that. And we could actually get it to them.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Caitlin Saposi-Belkamp from the Humboldt Municipal Water District. Caitlin, the concept of trying to find a customer. Yeah. Pulp mills, obviously, are very water intensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot, you know, unless you're going to put in a new aquarium or something that just takes, you know, an Olympic training center for the, you know, things that just need a lot of water. Are there that many characters out there that if they did locate here could and would need to utilize that much water?
Yeah, well, Brian, you have identified one of our big conundrums, which is there is no other water user like a pulp mill. So in terms of being able to just say, yep, it's taken care of with this one guy or whatever, no, that's not going to happen. And that's part of why what we're exploring in tandem is selling it out of the area to a municipality that meets the kind of criteria that we're looking for, selling it in the area.
That would be that their cash... Or their check cashes?
That would be one
yeah, okay.
fundamental
That's
piece.
Kind of what I thought,
it would
okay.
also be somebody that we could work out in an agreement that they, you know, we didn't feel like we were vulnerable to having them never be willing to give it back if we needed it
or those kinds
of things.
I just had a weird thought, and I'm not a big fan of what's in play, but with the diversion of the Eel River now
mm-hmm.
at the antiquated. Hydro facility PG&E mm-hmm. has. Could you just pump it to the Eel River and let it go down the Russian for the wine guys?
Well,
and
that's
there it is?
That. You know, we don't have anybody that we're negotiating with or anything like that right now. So this is all speculation. But
sure.
I will say that for me, that's one of the things that I think is most interesting, and I am most optimistic that, you know, if we are going to sell it to somebody, wouldn't it be awesome if we could sell it in a way that would help the Eel River, because it's not doing well. And
well,
if we could substitute
the diversion,
right, if we could substitute some, and because the beauty of our system is that it comes all the way down the river before it's diverted. And so unlike the Eel or the Klamath or the Trinity, where they're doing the diversion up high on the river and then the river's starved, we don't have that problem. And so we have a much better system for the river, from the river's perspective, and being able to use that to fix some of these other issues that have really caused horrible damage to these rivers, I think would be amazing. And Sonoma County is not that far away, so they're a relative neighbor.
Well, and that's why, you know, the thing I was thinking with that diversion that's in place, there's no infrastructure. I mean, there's infrastructure to get it from the Mad to the Eel. Yeah, okay, duh. But beyond that, there's a creek bed.
Mm.
Boom. You know, I mean, you're just, you know, the flow's a little bit higher. the wine guys, and it certainly doesn't look like they're going away.
Right.
With some of the new plantings that are going on,
right,
and the battles that are going on for water in Mendocino and Sonoma County. There you go. You just have a water contract that is written this century.
Right. The only problem is, of course, you know, getting it that down to there. And the fact is that with our seismic activity, you know, a pipeline, for example, is just, you know, there's a reason why we don't have a railroad either. So the idea of having a pipe that goes down south is tough.
Well, it's so long.
And it's long, just yeah.
The investment straight up. Investment.
Right. But the other thing is there's two reasons why we couldn't, like, tap the MAD higher up. One, we lose all the benefit of it going through the river. But actually, because our dam is and the lake is actually so small compared to the bulk of the water coming to the river. Almost all of the river is actually filled with tributaries from lower than
from
our
below,
dam. Right. We don't even have that much impact. We do at some critical times, like late in the year, like now. There wouldn't really be a flow if it wasn't for the dam and the releases that we're doing. But most of the time, we don't actually even have that much of an impact. So we wouldn't have enough water down here if we were to tap it earlier, because we'd lose all those tributaries.
So where is the access point or the draw down point for the pipes and the infrastructure that's going out to the North Spit that was feeding the pulp mills?
That is all at what's called Essex, which is basically off West End Road. So pretty much all the way down at the bottom, almost.
West of Blue Lake.
Yeah. Something like that.
South of Fieldbrook, yes. It's a glorious spot.
Basically at the same place where you see the big rainy wells, which are the municipal water beginning point, the diversion point for the pulp mill or the industrial site is actually in that same place.
So you have to pump up against the gravity to get it over the hills. And,
Yeah.
Would right-of-way be that tough?
Well, you mean to go all the way down, or
no? Just I'm running on this, you know, let's put water in the grapes.
Uh huh.
Mode to get it over into the eel drainage, high enough so that the hydro diversion would be the point, the access point. It'd probably take a couple of lifts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be super easy. There are definitely some mountains there, and pumping costs. You know, I mean, and also whether that's a fair amount of energy, so it's not just cost. It's also
let's just put solar panels out.
I don't think that would get enough juice.
You don't think so? In Humboldt County, it wouldn't get enough.
Well, maybe it would get political juice, but I don't know that would actually supply enough power. And I don't know. You'd have to level a fair amount of mountain to make
something
solar. Somewhere where
the
those
fog, huh?
Polar.
Yeah.
Well, in the inland, there's actually not as much fog. Yeah. You know, I don't know. That's the question. It's a conundrum. But as far as I'm concerned, in terms of a customer that has some win-wins, being able to get Sonoma in a position where they were not taking as much water from the eel would be really good for Humboldt County.
Well, if they were, if it was a combo of MAD and eel.
Right, yeah. To make it so they didn't need as much eel, basically. The other thing, too, though, is that my understanding, and I'm not an expert on all of this and the ins and outs, but the Potter Valley project, you know, PG&E needs to be relicensed, and so it's not like Sonoma's, that source is not reliable necessarily for Sonoma in the long term.
Well, somehow when I consider the amount of vineyards,
there's a fair amount of political power
coming through
in operation there. Yes,
we've been smacked over the years, whether it was Jimmy doing his battles or Stan when he was supervisor in the. I somehow think that it's going to be recommissioned. I just have that sense.
It's probably true that they have a lot of sway, but at the same time, environmental regulations are stronger than they were back when the whole thing was put in place, and there are some real issues with the situation that they've got it going on in terms of for the eel. I mean, it's really damaged, and the salmon runs are really affected by that whole situation.
What we need is a good flood just to blow out all the channels. Okay.
Or it might just become too expensive. They might like our option better in the end.
That's an option too.
So maybe they would recommission it, but maybe it would just cost too much, and actually we could be more enticing. I don't know. That's all the stuff we have to figure out, but looking at a comment, to go back to your very first question about, you know, a local source or a local customer, there's not going to be one local customer. So it's a matter of looking at multiple options and probably trying to do multiple things at once.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Caitlin.
It gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46, final couple minutes left this afternoon with Caitlin Soposi-Bellkamp. Caitlin, the concept of the future is kind of daunting, I would suggest. You'd allowed that the water contracts don't expire until 29.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that much time, particularly when you consider huge investments mm-hmm. that would be necessary to accomplish whatever it is that's going to be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Things like financing.
Yeah.
And similar issues of such magnitude. Are they easy to wrestle down? Are they easy to kind of come to grips with? Are they easy just even to conceptualize for the electeds as you're sitting there going, how much?
Right.
When? And how much of that is a projection or how much of it is based in reality? I mean, how do you kind of even put your arms around the future?
Yeah, it is definitely, I think we're doing a decent job of being proactive, but I also kind of sometimes wish that that had started 10 years ago, especially in terms of the capital improvement, because it's not just that we don't have a customer, it's that we also have to basically replace the major parts of the system, you know, soonish in the next 10 years at the same time,
yeah.
Right? It's not the best situation to be in. I think that the days of, you know, just kind of signing off on what staff is doing at the water district, which, you know, things were well run and the system was in good shape. That was the past, and
well,
now
it's probably maintenance mode.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just making sure that everything's being taken care of, and we're not there. We have some big problems ahead, and we're going to have to figure out as a community what to do about them. The thing is, though, water, you can't do without it. So it might just be that we have really expensive water. My hope is that we can figure out some ways to alleviate the situation. And we have gotten a lot of grant money for the projects we've done so far. And that has helped make it so that the cost that people would be seeing otherwise would be significantly more. But, you know, if I'm interested in staying on this board as long as some of my predecessors did, I sort of wonder whether I would
die in the saddle, huh?
No, probably not. But
that's right. Ruffy is alive. He just moves a little less frequently now.
None of the current board members. I'm not talking about them. But if you look at the line of our guys on the wall, and it is guys. They stayed there for a long time, and if in the next 10 years we have some really major things we're going to have to face, and I think that our meetings will probably have more people at them, and our job is to just make sure that people understand what we're doing and us to make the best possible choices given the conditions we've got.
I'm sure there are other water districts that are in similar steads or have been mm-hmm. facing similar things in the last couple of years mm-hmm. as pulp mills have been going to mm-hmm. the Orient and mm-hmm. things have changed. Any magic out there?
We haven't. We've definitely looked, and we haven't seen that. You know, I think that I'm intrigued by what's happening with the pulp mill property, and what the Harbor District is doing. Again, that wouldn't be like a silver bullet for us, but potentially there could some of the development there, if they get that going with aquaculture and things like that, could be a customer, at least somebody using the industrial line, so that it doesn't just deteriorate. And the price of water is going to go up for everybody, not just because of our infrastructure problems. The value of water is going to go up, and so with that in mind, it makes it more and more likely that somebody will be interested in the fact that we have a pretty good amount of water that is reliable year-round, that is really excellent and clean. And so I don't know how long it'll take exactly and if the timing will work out, but we just have to move ahead as if it will and hope that things come and, you know, they align.
Build it and they will come.
Well, yeah. Get it started. Put a little foundation in place. We don't want to invest too much money in building something that doesn't happen. We have some history of that in Humboldt, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there.
Thanks for coming by, Caitlin.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It was good speaking with you.
We've been Talk Shop this afternoon with Caitlin Soposi-Bellkamp. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.